Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Butte, you never cease to amaze me. Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden, he was on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, yesterday. Butte, you never cease to amaze me. Boy, they got some big cows in Butte, Montana. Did you see the size of that cow that was walking up and down the street? Oh, that was an elephant. Oh, man, I tell you what, if you were in Butte yesterday, I'm sure everything came to a stop as this elephant got on the loose. They're saying that, you know, the circus was in town, and then a vehicle backfired or something like that, and all of a sudden the elephant takes off running. According to the Montana Standard, there was some excitement at about noon Tuesday as Tola, an elephant with the Jordan World Circus, escaped from the Butte Civic Center and headed down Harrison Avenue despite the heavy traffic. It was funny seeing the comments because, of course, social media, I don't know about you guys, social media just blew up. It was just filled wall to wall with all the photos and the video of this elephant walking right down the street in Butte, Montana. So I shared at facebook.com/FlintReport. I shared some of the photographs from Caleb Bowman, I think is who it was. And I said, big cows and Butte, Montana. And then we got some other great comments from some other folks. I loved this one from Barry Hauser. You know it's spring in Butte when you get your first elephant sighting of the season. Jones says he didn't want to work for peanuts. Mike Wilson said an out-of-state hunter would tag that with an either-sex elk tag. Michael Bernhardt, with a literary reference here, Hannibal came over the mountains. Dwayne Wilson, see, there is global warming. We are turning into a temperate zone. Next up, a rhino and a hippopotamus. Preston Lowe says those Republicans will do anything for a vote. And then Roger Kenny added this as this massive elephant is walking down the street in Butte. The GOP is trying to take over Butte. Well, of course, I had to add, I mean, the point. Well, when you've got liberal Senator John Tester killing the Keystone XL pipeline and opening up the border, certainly provides an avenue of approach for those pachyderms right down Harrison Avenue, doesn't it? Anyway, hey, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about here on Wednesday's Montana Talks, 406-294-0970, or, of course, you can message us on our Montana Talks app. If you got something you want to talk about here on the show, I'd love to get Tommy O'Neill's take on the elephant walking down the street in Butte story. What's going on today, Tommy? Nothing much. It's another day in Butte, America. Just another day. All right, let's see. The fake news newspaper. Did you guys get that in your mailbox, the fake news newspaper? How is it any different than the rest of the news media out there? That's, I think, the real question, right?
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, come on, Frank and Malta. That's just bad. That's just bad, Frank and Malta. I want all our listeners in KMMR to go give Frank a hard time for us here later today. Frank and Malta messaged me. Elephant gets cited in Butte for leaving its trunk open. Maybe it's because the trunk was empty, didn't have any beverages in there. Maybe that's why the elephant got cited for leaving its trunk open in Butte. All right, Frank, thanks for that message. Hey, speaking of Tommy O in Butte, America, I guess I should have known he might be listening in. Let's go to Tommy O'Neill in Butte, first up on the phone lines. What's going on, Tommy?
Oh, you know, relatively elephant-free day today, Aaron, but a little excitement yesterday, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, did your phone just start blowing up right? You were probably at the radio stations, right? Just hanging out?
Actually, Right. About an hour after it happened, I went to get my hair cut right across the street from the Civic Center, and they were all talking about it. And I didn't see anything out of the ordinary. I didn't get a chance to see it myself, but a lot of our listeners over here did, and they got pictures. We got it up on our sites here and on some of our town square sites across the state. But it was just crazy. I mean, there was a video that elephants was walking down Harrison Avenue. Maybe its trunk was empty. It went right into the town pump there. So.
Yeah, right past the Lucky, was it the Lucky Lils that went right past or something like that?
Yeah, Montana Lils, it went right there and then went out towards Grand Avenue. I think that's kind of where they got it corralled over there by Joe's Pasty Shop over there on Grand, right by Harrison. I don't think the elephant was out for that long, but it raised some eyebrows.
There's always something exciting going on in Butte, right?
You know, we just got over St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, you think you've seen it all, and then this happens. It's just crazy. But, all's good today, man.
Yeah, back to normal. Back to normal. Some people were saying on Twitter, they were thinking maybe this is a sign of the changing politics of Butte, you know, and, maybe it's a sign of what might happen in November a little bit, but they might just be a little optimistic there.
I hope so, because we've had donkeys walking around the streets for years, and it's good to see finally we get maybe a red wave started here, Aaron.
All right, Tommy, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
You take care, Aaron.
All right, you too. 294-0970, the number for you. And actually, on the political front, it's actually interesting. I know in the last midterm elections, I think it was the worst the Democrats have ever done in Butte. If I remember those numbers right, I remember talking with Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP at the time, because, I mean, think about it. You got, you know, the Democrats killing the Keystone XL pipeline. You've got the radical environmentalists that are aligned with the Democrat Party that are, you know, anti-mining, anti-timber. And then Monica Tranel, the Democrat candidate for Congress, I mean, she is doing fundraisers with the American Prairie Reserve, which wants to kick the ranchers off the land here in Montana. And Butte Silver Bow is, you know, a big agricultural area as well. So yeah, maybe it is a sign. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Charlie in Miles City. Charlie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering whether you have viewed the television ad with the rancher in Power, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Tim B. I wish somebody would know what his last name is.
This guy, yeah.
His girlfriend or Tesh's boyfriend, one or the other.
I'll tell you what, that guy really ticked off a bunch of ranchers across Montana, didn't he?
Well, yeah, ticked off a bunch of townspeople also. I just think it's crazy. But I would sure like to know what his last name is.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think what his last name was. But basically, I looked this guy up. So this is the guy, for those of you who haven't seen it, this is the guy in this Chuck Schumer attack ad. He's attacking Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, who's got the Little Belt Cattle Company. He's saying, well, because their ranch markets their ranch and markets their beef by selling trucker hats with their ranch name on it, by selling pink hooded sweatshirts and coffee cups, that they're not real ranchers. And it's like, wait a minute, what ranch doesn't promote their bull sale or their ranch by selling or giving out coffee cups or pink hoodies even, right? I mean, almost every rancher is doing that these days.
That's for sure. They have to do it to stay alive anymore with this Biden economic situation.
Exactly. So I looked this guy up. He's given a laundry list of campaign contributions to Democrats. So he's just a partisan Democrat. Who, by the way, I found a coffee cup with his family ranch logo on it as well. So he's also a gigantic hypocrite.
Well, that's good. Maybe the Prairie Reserve should get after him and see if he wants to sell out.
Oh, yeah, no. I'll tell you what, it'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall if that guy runs into folks out on the town, because it's like, wow. How many ranchers got their start? How many ranches in Montana got their start because a military veteran came home from the war and decided to get into agriculture, decided to start a ranch or decided to start a farm? And you have the gall to sit there and say that, oh, well, these two Navy SEALs, they don't get to come home from serving their country and start a ranch. I mean, what a slap in the face to veterans all across this state. And then to attack a rancher who markets their beef or their ranch by selling, you know, sweatshirts and coffee cups. I mean, give me a break. As you pointed out, Charlie, hey, look at the costs that ranchers are facing right now because of the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation. You got to do everything to be profitable right now, given the attacks and the headwinds that you're facing because of Joe Biden and John Tester's policies. All right, Charlie, thanks for the call. Cheryl in Bozeman, stand by. Cheryl in Bozeman, we'll get to you right after this quick break. And if you're listening and you got something you want to talk about, you can call in right now as well, 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Progressive Dark Money launches Montana media outlet ahead of election. I know a lot of you have been asking, you've been calling into the show or sending us messages. Hey, have you guys seen this fake news newspaper called the Montana Independent? The Montana Free Press has a story out kind of looking at the funding that this group is getting, the connections that this group has. Basically, it's a left-wing dark money outfit that's producing a fake newspaper. And oh, by the way, it has connections to the dark money group that is being run by former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, the former Democrat governor of Montana, Steve Bullock. You know, the guy who campaigned against dark money all those years, and now he runs a dark money group. Yeah, he's apparently has connections to this dark money newspaper that they're mailing out to 150,000 Montanans. But the bottom line of this story is basically what they're trying to do with this newspaper is they're trying to create headlines that casts the Republicans in a negative light and then casts the Democrats in a positive light. And, of course, they're only doing it because of the big 2024 elections, and they're only doing it in battleground states like Montana and, you know, Pennsylvania and some others. But Kyle Schmock, who is a communications director for the Montana State Senate majority, made a really good point. How is what they are doing any different than what the rest of the media typically does here in Montana? I mean, case in point, did you guys hear what Texas Senator Ted Cruz had to say yesterday? This press conference, it was about the impeachment articles for Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas being delivered to the Senate chamber. House impeachment managers were walking the impeachment articles over to the Senate chamber, and then all of a sudden, this happened, according to Texas Senator Ted Cruz. And after you hear this news from Texas Senator Ted Cruz, could any of you please fill me in? Did any news outlets in Montana cover this news? Because they love to do fake news hit pieces against Governor Gianforte. They love to do fake news hit pieces against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, but they never report anything critical of liberal Senator John Tester.
You want to know how terrified the Democrats are of hearing the evidence? Everyone recognizes the single most endangered Democrat senator on the ballot this year is John Tester from Montana. I don't know how many of the reporters were in the chamber for the reading of the articles, but John Tester was standing on the floor before the managers arrived. As soon as the managers arrived, Tester turned and ran, presumably into the cloakroom. And if you look at the Democrat side, virtually every Democrat was there, but John Tester was nowhere to be found.
All right, so that was live on Fox News yesterday while that press conference was taking place. Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy shared that via X.com yesterday, adding this: John Tester can't hide from his absolutely abysmal record of letting illegals raid America and opening our border to deadly drugs, criminals, and terrorists. Back into the phone lines we go here. Let's see. Cheryl in Bozeman. That's right. Cheryl, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling about CI 128. It's we're in petition season, so there are signature gatherers in parking lots and for the stores with clipboards, approaching people to sign petitions to put measures on the November ballot. And one of those petitions is for CI 128, which would make unlimited access to abortion part of Montana's constitution. That is, if CI 128 passes, it will be legal for abortion providers like Planned Parenthood to abort babies right up to the time of birth. That would be Montana law. So I just want to ask Montanans to be really careful about any petitions they sign, and I hope everyone refuses to sign CI 128.
They're using very well, you know, shady crafted language, mischievously crafted language to try to make it sound like something else. But you're exactly right. The radical abortion lobby is trying to get no limits abortion enshrined into the Constitution. I know some of our listeners may disagree on the topic of abortion and where the line should be drawn, etc. But I think we can all agree, we should all agree that these late-term abortions, etc., are just appalling. But that's what they want to get enshrined into our Constitution. But they're trying to use, you know, really deceptive language in order to try to get that enshrined in our state Constitution.
And if it gets in the Constitution, it will be all but impossible to get it out again once it's there. So we have to be so careful.
The other one, there's this ranked choice voting initiative that paid signature gatherers out there getting signatures for. So, I mean, you know, people can make up their own minds, but yeah, at least my approach is if I see these paid signature gatherers out there, I just say, hey, thanks, have a good day. No thanks, and just keep on walking. Don't sign.
Right. Well, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for waiting on the phone line, Cheryl. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Next up, let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Hey, I want to start by thanking you for all of your great shows informing your listeners with truth instead of the mainstream media's lies and omissions of factual information. You know, even Ken from Great Falls and Jim from earlier today call in and remind us that the one thing we can all agree upon these days is that there's no such thing as an unimportant election anymore. And with that in mind, it's my pleasure to announce that the Montana Association of Republican Central Committees and the Stillwater Republican Women are co-hosting a Politics and Pancakes fundraiser in Roscoe, Montana, on Saturday, April 27th, starting at 9 a.m. in the Community Center. It's right off the highway, 1991 Montana Highway 78. We're going to have local, state, and hopefully Tim Sheehy, I hope you're listening. He's listed as a possible. I know he's a busy guy. But, you know, what better, don't you think that's the best way for Montanans to fight back against the big money involvement in the fraudulent Montana Independent and all the other fake news legacy medias? It's face-to-face, person-to-person information passed instead of looking at these fake outlets.
That's right. Where the hell is Roscoe, Perry?
Where the hell is Roscoe? It's right next to, where the heck is Roscoe?
Right.
Sorry about
that's
that.
That's the bumper sticker. That's why, yeah, pardon my French. But Montanans, they get it. That's the bumper sticker. Where the hell is Roscoe? That was
right
the...
down there off of 78, just south of Absorkey, right there where the road goes down and crosses the Stillwater. You go into some trees.
Beautiful country. Roscoe. Beautiful country right near Luther. If anybody's ever wondering, like, where's Luther? That's like, you know, whenever people ask you where some town is located, oh, you don't know where Sunburst is? Well, it's not too far from Kevin. And you know where Kevin is, right? Yeah. Where the hell is Roscoe? For those of you who might be new to Montana or new to town, that was the kind of the epic bumper sticker of the Grizzly Bar in Roscoe, Montana. So not too far from Red Lodge. 406-294-0970. Next up, let's go to Grandpa Lou in Billings. Grandpa Lou, thanks for the call.
The
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning, Aaron. And I just wanted to comment about everybody criticizing, you know, Sheehy for selling his hats and stuff for his ranch. I remember back in the day where you could go hunting anywhere. All you had to do was stop on a person's place, knock on the door and say, you mind if me and my boy go over here and shoot a deer or something? Oh, sure, just leave the gates the way you found them and stuff. Now all the places we used to go are all leased out, you know, and I don't blame the farmers and the ranchers, you know. They got to do what they got to do to get by, and the only reason I can still go places is because I go out to them places and I help them with branding and fencing and painting fence posts orange and stuff, you know, and that's why me and my son and my grandson, we still have places to go. And I just want to say, hey, ho, ho, comrade testers, got to go.
Well, that point you make about, you know, ranchers selling merchandise, yeah, so many of them are doing it because, A, it promotes your bull sale, promotes, you know, what you do. It promotes your business, and what business doesn't promote their business. But, B, it comes down to profitability. I mean, we had Greg Putnam, the Navy, you know, Navy SEAL veteran, the Navy SEAL teammate of Tim Sheehy. They've got the Little Bell Cattle Company together. I mean, he told us they generate $100,000. They generated $100,000 in 1 year because of their merchandise sales, right? And what are all the conversations that are taking place right now? I just ran into Vicki Olson and Leslie Robinson out of Phillips County. They were on their way back to Washington, D.C. When I was coming back from the UFC 300 in Vegas, I ran into them at the airport while they were on their way out to Washington, D.C. And aside from the death taxes, what's the other big conversations they've been having at the stock growers level and at the Public Lands Council? Producer profitability. Merchandise is just one other aspect of that. And so we're all facing high inflation, heavy input costs. So they've got to do everything they can to combat inflation and input costs, right? And so, yeah, that's why I think so many ranchers were so outraged at this stupid ad from Chuck Schumer, because they're like, are you kidding me? If somebody sells a baseball cap with their ranch on it, they're not real ranchers. By the way, I talked with Greg Putnam. You know, he was part of our veteran and entrepreneur crew that was down at UFC 300. They completely sold out of their pink hoodies. They completely sold out. Very popular. Their merchandise is even more popular now thanks to Chuck Schumer's attack ad. But they're going to get more, so don't worry. I know you're going to want to buy more.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
America's farmers and ranchers are leading the way in greenhouse gas emission reduction through voluntary conservation efforts and market-based incentives. The Environmental Protection Agency released the inventory of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions and sinks for the years 1990 through 2022. Danny Munch with the American Farm Bureau explains the results.
Overall greenhouse gas emissions from all sources increased by 1.3% between 2021 and 2022, though agricultural emissions dropped 1.8%, and that's the largest decrease of any economic sector.
2022 marks the lowest U.S. agricultural greenhouse gas emissions since 2012. The EPA categorizes agricultural emissions by crop cultivation, livestock, and fuel combustion that occurs in the business.
Crop cultivation emissions were down 6 million metric tons from 2021. When we look at livestock, they were down 2.1% or 6 million metric tons from 2021. Emissions from fuel combustion in ag were down 1 million metric tons or 1.2%.
U.S. agriculture represents just under 10% of total U.S. emissions when compared to other economic sectors. By EPA's own methodology, emissions from agriculture totaled 634 million metric tons in CO2 equivalent, or 9.99% of all U.S. emissions. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got to pull up this article since you've been calling in about this topic. So you guys heard my take. Here's the take from Paul Mushaven. Paul Mushaven is one of the Breakfast Flakes, been on the radio for 36-plus years in Billings on the Cat Country radio station. In fact, he and Mark are right down the hall right now, still wrapping up their morning here. Paul Mushaven says this. He wrote an article, From Bull to Business. From Bull to Business. He says, the guy in the tester ad is an idiot. I think it's some rancher from Power or someplace like that who makes fun of Sheehy because he bought his ranch. So what? I bought both of mine to get started and made it work. It's a real slap in the face for anyone in Montana who started ranching and farming and did not have a parent or a family member to hand one down to them. In fact, if the truth were known, it would take way more work, time, and money to start from nothing. This is a slap in the face to any hardworking Montanan who started a business. Let's see. And then he also, of course, goes after the fact that they're criticizing Sheehy and his ranch for, you know, marketing their products by selling, you know, coffee mugs and things like that. Paul says this because in addition to being on the radio in Billings, he also is a rancher. He has a ranch, right? So after he wraps up his radio show, he's back checking on cows and whatever. He says this, I can't even count how many bulls I have bought from different breeders, and every one of them gives you a coffee mug or a hat with their name on it. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. He said, so if that's what this guy from Power wants you to base your vote on, whether you're a full-time rancher or not, then tester needs to go. That's what Paul Mushaven had to say in this piece. All right, let's switch tracks. We got a great guest joining us now here on the program. Animal rights extremist groups sue to relist gray wolves. We've got Executive Director Luke Hilgeman with the International Order of T. Roosevelt. Luke, thanks for being with us this morning.
It's great to be with you.
Yeah. Here we go again, right?
It's just never-ending. Never-ending saga when it comes to the management and the responsible management of wolf populations across the United States.
Yeah, we know this when it comes to these environmental issues and these animal rights activist issues. It's never going to be enough for them. And they're never going to follow the science. They do not want to follow the science. They only want to follow the political science. For those who aren't, you know, fully tracking this issue of, you know, listing wolves on the endangered species list and then delisting them, give us kind of just a little background, a little summary from your perspective.
Yeah, so the gray wolf population should be a national conservation success story. These are wolves that have come back into the landscape on not only the western slope, but here in the Great Lakes where I'm from as well. These populations have grown to a place where they used to require federal endangered species protection, but in every state that now has a growing wolf population, we've reached the threshold to allow those wolves to be transferred back to the management of the states. Unfortunately, as we've done this multiple times, and it seems to be, like you said, a political football that keeps getting back kicked back and forth between the feds and the states, we have activist judges, like we have here in California in this example, where they've intervened and said that even though we've met all of the thresholds for these populations of animals to be responsibly managed by the states, they don't like that. And they intervene on behalf of these rogue, radical animal rights groups that are out there to try and basically stop us from managing these populations of predators. And here in my home state of Wisconsin, and I know you guys have similar experiences in Montana, the wolves are decimating our deer population. We have five counties here in my home state of Wisconsin where deer have killed, or where wolves have killed more deer than hunters have for multiple years in a row. Unlike Montana, where you guys are still able to be able to manage them, we don't have any way to manage our wolf population, and it's blowing up out of control. The latest population estimates put the wolves at 1,000 here in Wisconsin. We believe that number is at least 3 to 4 times that size because our Department of Natural Resources isn't very good at counting them either. And so, unfortunately, we have this political football, as you've clearly stated, that gets kicked back and forth, and nobody really wins. The only people that are winning seem to be the animal rights groups who continue to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to support their radical cause at the expense of all of us who are left to deal with the problem.
Yeah, I saw an Associated Press headline back in February, so just what, a couple months ago, a little over a couple of months ago here. U.S. won't restore protections for wolves in the Rockies, proposes national recovery plan. Federal wildlife officials rejected requests from conservation groups. They're not conservation groups. They're radical environmental activists. But anyway, to restore protections for gray wolves across the northern U.S. Rocky Mountains. But here's my problem. I'm glad you mentioned the courts and you mentioned these activist judges, because this is what happens time and time again. They will allow these federal judges to do the dirty work for them. They'll say, oh, no, we don't want to relist the wolves. And then they'll have the judges that they put on the bench do the dirty work for them and rule on behalf of these radical environmental groups. We see that time and time again, especially with timber policy.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And most of the time, these federal judges are thousands of miles away from the states in which they're making these rulings that have to deal with the outcomes of this bad policy and these bad legal judgments. And so, again, our organization, IOTR, is in this fight. We believe, and I'm actually the citizen here in Wisconsin who sued my state government when they tried to stop our wolf hunt, our statutorily required wolf hunt, from moving forward, and won. And the department had to open a season. We killed 218 wolves in 72 hours. And this is the type of responsible management that it's going to take to make sure that there's an equal balance in our ecosystem. We're not saying that all of the wolves need to be killed. That's not at all what we're saying. We believe that they need to be responsibly managed just like any other population of wild game.
So the three groups, we're very familiar with these three groups because they're, the three radical groups that are always filing suit. You've got the Center for Biological Diversity, the Humane Society of the United States. Our friends in agriculture are always good about reminding people, look, the HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, they're not your local animal shelter. They are a radical left-wing animal rights activist group. They are anti-agriculture. They are anti-responsible game management. And then, of course, the Sierra Club's in on it as well.
Yeah. And again, these are the top, like you said, the top anti-hunting, radical environmentalist groups that have collectively, these three groups alone, have an annual operating budget of almost $500 million. Yes, $500 million. And so if you just do a little bit of research, you can track back, why do these groups, they say that they're in this for the welfare and well-being of animals. But in reality, if you look at what they're paying their executives, they're in it to pay millions of dollars to their top executives and use these issues for political gain for the candidates that they support. And 98% of them are radical liberals from all across the country.
Yeah. You're calling on this lawsuit to be thrown out immediately. We can only hope that takes place. They're very good about judge shopping. And not to make everything political, but frankly, it is. We've got, the most important U.S. Senate race in the country here in Montana. And look, the reason we have these radical environmental activist judges on the federal bench here in Montana is because they get appointed, they get nominated by the President of the United States with confirmation from the United States Senate. So the president will rely on the senior senator from their party in that respective state to nominate to provide names for these judges. So look, if we don't want the radical environmental groups to keep working in tandem with these left-wing federal judges, that's why elections matter.
Amen. And as hunters, unfortunately, we have the data that backs this up. Less than half of America's hunters are voting on a regular basis. So going back to what you just talked about, we continue to see these types of things coming against our sport and our heritage, but at the same time, too many of us are sitting it out. We can be that deciding factor that will hopefully put people in office that believe like we believe, that want more opportunities for hunting, fishing, and conservation to take hold in America. And instead, we are left with these radicals who put these people in these places because we're just sitting it out.
That's right. And what did you say? You're in Wisconsin? Is that where you're at, Wisconsin?
Yes, sir.
The hunters of Wisconsin could win back this country, just like the, you know, the folks here in Montana can win back this country as well. Wisconsin is a battleground state. If just the hunters alone, given how many there are in Wisconsin, were to get engaged in these elections and in this fight, man, it would have dramatic results in a battleground state like that. Luke, appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for what you're doing with the International Order of T. Roosevelt.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
All right, appreciate it. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got phone lines open for you. If you call in right now, we should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time this hour of the program. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well.
Yo. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got phone lines open for you right now. If you call in right now, 406-294-0970, we should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time this hour of the show. Did you guys hear Katie Couric? Katie Couric was on, she was taping like a podcast with Bill Maher. And Bill Maher was pushing back on her and what she had to say here. But Katie Couric, unfortunately, is yet another example of one of these elitists who just look down at the rest of America. They look down on those of us here in flyover country. Greg Gutfeld had this on his program last night. Whoa, hold on. One second here. This, if I have the microphone up too high, it'll do that to you. Stand by just a second. Here we go.
Bracket bitter clingers, and Hillary had her basket of deplorables, and now Katie Couric become the latest elite blowhard to psychoanalyze Trump supporters. America's sweetheart, now an old fart, thinks she's cracked the code of MAGA by calling them a bunch of rubes.
Socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot. And anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost vile feeling.
Wow. Even after the colonoscopy, she's still full of crap. Anyway.
Anyway, that was Greg Gutfeld last night. But wait. We're the ones who are jealous? You're the ones who are always bashing success. You're the ones who want to tax success. So how are you saying that we are the ones who are jealous? You're the ones who are constantly bashing success. In fact, isn't that part of your hatred of President Donald J. Trump, is the fact that he was so successful? All right, anyway, let's get into the phone lines, 406-294-0970. Fawn, out of Northwest Montana. Fawn, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, it's me up in... You know me.
That's right. One of our fellow veterans.
And see if you've gotten an email from Greg about if you could work to come up here.
Well, I'm gonna get up to Eureka here one of these days. But we'll make that happen. But what do you want to talk about now that we got you on the air?
I wanted to see if anybody's heard Testers. New YouTube ad where he's working very hard with the GOP on the border.
I haven't heard it.
Sure, you don't drink no coffee when it comes on. I almost spit it all over my keyboard.
Isn't it crazy? It's like, can you even trust a word that this guy says? Anytime you see him on TV or hear him somewhere, it's like, I think people just aren't even buying it anymore. They're just not falling for the shtick.
Especially after he ran and hid his lard ass in the coat closet yesterday. It was so funny.
Well, that was according to, I haven't seen the video, but yeah, according to Texas Senator Ted Cruz, he just straight up ran off of the Senate floor because he didn't want to be there when the impeachment articles were being read against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And why wouldn't he want to be there? Well, of course, because he is just as responsible for the wide open southern border as Mayorkas is. Yeah, I mean, he has been there with Joe Biden every step of the way. But then, yeah, you're right, Fawn. But then he uses his out-of-state money to produce these campaign commercials where he claims that he's working with Republicans to secure the border. It's absolutely crazy. All right, let me get to this caller here on the phone lines here. We've got Rich in Great Falls. Travis, if you can free that line up for me, I can go to him. But it's flashing yellow. There we go. Thank you. All right, Rich in Great Falls. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick, Aaron, I've been in Great Falls for about 15 years. The PBS, KUFM, or KUGF for Great Falls, the legislature channel, just added on about the wild boars. Anyway, it plays a radio station on the audio instead of the actual committee meetings. I've been trying for years to get them to address it. So I figured if we did it on your show, maybe they would address putting the correct audio on it. Because they told me they were going to 3 years ago.
Wait, so you're trying to watch a legislative hearing, and then there's a public radio station that plays on it instead, or what's the deal?
Yep, exactly. Because they just had it on the swine in Canada out of Saskatchewan in a room meeting, and I can put my closed caption on and read the right words, but if I go audio, it's a radio station, PBS radio station, totally different.
Huh? So they probably got like National Public Radio. Played in the background.
I don't know. I don't want to listen to it. I do listen to PBS on the radio. It's plugged into my car, but no, I want to watch them create laws, have committees, you know, in Montana, and the channel's there, but we don't get the audio.
Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that one there. National Public Radio, though, man, they're in a firestorm right now. The NPR CEO, man, if you've seen some of the crazy things, They had one guy as a whistleblower speak out and criticize how partisan and how biased NPR is. So, of course, they sideline that guy. But this radical left-wing CEO gets to keep wearing her hat. Maybe they don't deserve hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer funds anymore, right? That'd probably be a good start at chipping away at 35